Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, December 27, 2012. This year has been a busy one for tonight's guest. Visual artist Phil Irish completed his Master's of Fine Arts degree, hosted the inaugural exhibit of his thesis work at Cooper's Fine Art in Toronto, and is ending the year with another showing of Makeshift, only this time a little closer to home. The exhibit, which received positive review from the Record this past weekend, will be on display at the Cambridge Gallery in Preston until January 6. Phil's on the phone with us from his home studio in Elora to talk about the work. But first, let's listen to Angry With God, a song from Permission to Be Broken, a new CD from Kelowna, BC musician Jennifer Jade Kerr. Conversation with Phil Irish. Good evening, Phil.
Good evening.
Now, just before we get into details about the Makeshift project and the exhibit, let's remind our listeners a little bit about you. I think it's been a while since you and I have talked as on the radio. So what got you started as a painter?
Well, painting has always been something I've really loved. You know, where did it start? I all the way through high school, I was very involved in theater and painting. I suppose you could go back to being a child, where I was doing watercolors all the time as a little kid, and stacks of sketchbooks and such. I went to University of Guelph, and that was really deciding to make art what I really wanted to pursue.
Do you ever remember a point in time where you kind of stepped back and said, you're looking at something and going, hey, I'm an artist? Did that ever happen to you, and when?
Well, again, I mean, it was something from when I was pretty little. So I remember in grade 3, I actually started a little business selling drawings to my classmates because we were designing bookmarks in library class, and everyone loved mine, so I just talked it off, and then I realized, my dad at that point would come home with computer paper that was all strung together, perforated, I don't know.
Oh, I remember those. Yeah.
So I would do a drawing, I would do drawings, and I'd say, okay, if your drawing is one piece of paper, that's 25 cents, but if it's three pieces of paper long, that's going to be 75 cents. And so anyway, that was in grade 3. Somehow managed to get some candy money off of making drawings.
So even back then, you were sort of making money off your art.
well, it's is not that easy a pursuit. But anyway, yeah, that was a good reason to take it with some dedication for sure.
Well, what sort of sustained you and kept you going through the years? Because I mean, it can be difficult to, as you develop and as you grow as an artist. I mean, you know, most of our art's done by ourselves with our materials and that. You know, and it's only when you get to the exhibit stage or as a, you know, myself as a writer, you get the book out there that people start appreciating what you've been doing. What sustains you through that and keeps you going in terms of pursuing art?
Well, I mean, there's, I love it. I mean, that's, you know, it enriches, it engages so much of who I am, my curiosity, my interest, my reading, my, you know, my faith, my relationships. Everything feeds into it. You know, it uses your body, so you're moving, you're mixing colors, and there's a physical aspect to it. But it's very intuitive and spiritual listening as well. It's all these things together. So in a way, I think it becomes like a set of practices, kind of like how in faith there would be practices that would sustain you, and that you know that it just becomes part of who you are, how you engage living deeply. So, you know, using my sketchbook, taking photographs, time in the studio, all these things kind of become part of the rhythm of life, I guess.
Well, do you find that your art arises out of some of the things you're doing spiritually, or on the flip side, that your spiritual practices inform your art? Is there sort of a back and forth between your own spiritual journey and what's happening with your art?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to sometimes to look at a, you know, particular artwork and say, well, you know, here's the firm connection. But I would say yes. And then we get to the upheaval in my current show, and you'll ask me, what on earth is going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of connection between... I would hope that art... art is not, for me, a thing that is about decoration or making something pretty. Although, I mean, beauty has a role in it. But I hope that it will speak to people. I people at a very deep level, and those connections are certainly there.
Well, we've seen that. I mean, in the few years we've known each other, you've developed. There's the Watershed series with the stuff along the Grand River, the growth charting series, and now Makeshift. Has there ever been sort of a common theme that you've seen going through these, or is each sort of a standalone on itself in terms of the type of work that you've been doing?
Yeah, that's a good question, because the last few years have been a time of a lot of change. So at the time we talked about Makeshift, Watershed, I had been doing... I'd been asking the same sort of set of questions for about 5 years, and I think that's common to me. I mean, you could probably, you know, before that I had done other kinds of images for quite a long time, where there's a certain kind of thing that really speaks to me, and a set of questions, and work can evolve and change and be very exciting within that set of questions. And I think my questions are different today than they were a couple of years ago. And so the growth charting ones that are in between, I understood that to be a transitional moment. I was researching Makeshift at the same time as I was making those paintings. But even when I'm thinking about something, trying to make a big change, I know that I still have to be making stuff with my hands all the time. And so sort of to give myself a breather from the map paintings of which Watershed was a part.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to give, like, it's almost like cleansing your palate. It's like, okay, I just need to take a step back and do something that is a little less complicated. I mean, I think those paintings are powerful, actually, the growth charting. But honestly, I came at them without even really understanding them. It was kind of a straightforward project I gave myself to give myself room. And that's, I mean, that says something in itself. That's something that speaks, I think, that much. And well, your listeners don't know what to imagine, but the growth charting ones are images of a magnolia tree in full bloom. But streaking through that are these stripes of very vibrant colors, like strong reds and blacks and other colors like yellows, are kind of careening through and in a sense breaking apart the lilac or the magnolia. But in another sense, they sort of echo the tree. So they're kind of about speed and change and are you rooted or uprooted? These kinds of things are in there.
Okay. Well, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to continue our conversation and talk specifically about Makeshift. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Arts Connection, you've been listening to Permission to be Broken, the title track from Jennifer Jade Kerr's newest CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Phil Irish. Phil, Makeshift grew out of your master's degree work. I guess the first question is, what prompted you to go back at this time and work on your master's of fine arts degree?
Yeah, it's a good question. Some people do their master's very quickly after doing their undergrad degree in art. Other people come at it at different points. I've wanted to do it for a long time, and it's a matter of getting everything to line up to be able to do it. And it was actually a very good timing for me because, there was kind of a lot of upheaval in my life, actually, at that time. There was just some difficulty family-wise and money-wise and different things going on, and it was kind of a point where I had to say, how do I reconsider what I'm doing? How do I make my projects bigger? As I said, I've been kind of following one track for a while, and I knew it was time to make a change. So all those things came together to make it the right time for me to head back to a school environment, even though I've been exhibiting for, 15 years.
Yeah. Well, no. So how did Makeshift grow out of that work that you were doing for your master's?
Well, I worked through so many ideas in my master's. There's so many kinds of work that I haven't shown because I allowed myself to be very free and experimental in that moment. But I became increasingly interested in collage, and not collage in the kind of pop art way of taking magazines and referencing advertising and all that kind of direction of collage, but I think there's something really poetic about sort of taking something apart and then putting it together in a way that is surprising and new. And that, to me, felt like something about my life. It was like, okay, how do I reimagine where I am and where I'm going? And, the title of that song you just played was about the broken.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that so many of us can relate to, a sense of the fragility of where we're at, and sometimes things flying apart, and what are you going to do with that? So this new project really comes out of thinking about a painting practice, so not collaging from magazines and so on, but how can that sensibility of collage inform a way for me to paint?
Mm-hmm. Well, as you're talking about that, and maybe it's because I'm reading Les Miserables right now, but there almost seems as if there's a sort of creation redemption theme going on with Makeshift as well, where you create the original piece, you crumple it up, you take it apart, and then you reuse it. Is that something that was crossing your mind at the same time?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's so I think it addresses the brokenness and fragility, but it's also a very there's a lot of hope in the exhibition. There are lots of signs of rhythm and monumentality, and I think people, if they enter the gallery space, will be very
mm-hmm.
moved by it. And sometimes it's easy to talk about redemption as if everything is just made better, but then there's also the kind of work out your salvation in fear and trembling. There's a unknown about how things will end up.
Well, there's also that sense of redemption too, of that reclaiming of that which was once broken.
Exactly.
Yeah, as well. Let's give our listeners a little bit of an... This is one the unfortunate part about radio is they can't see. And I've seen a couple of the examples of the work that you've got going on in Makeshift. But give us a bit of an idea of one of the pieces from Makeshift, and how you started it, how you created it, and what it's sort of going to look like when they walk into the gallery.
Sure. Well, if you start in the studio, my studio looks like a double garage from the outside, but my neighbors know the vehicle has never entered the building. And I have one wall that's 20 feet long. And so I cover that entire wall with paper end to end. And so I'm making images that are 7 feet high, by whatever width I want. So I might do several images on that 20 feet. But working very large and fairly quickly compared to sometimes how I paint. So they're a little more urgent and rougher in the handling a little bit. But some parts might be very delicately painted. Other parts might be more abstract. There might be the image of a cloud or of a window with siding or a bed, mostly to do with a house, architectural things, a chandelier, for example, a staircase. And then I roll all these huge sheets of paper up onto a sonotube, take that into the gallery, and I unroll about 150 feet of paper onto the gallery floor, and I start to chop up the pictures and nail them to the wall, sometimes hanging off the ceiling, sometimes hanging out from the wall. They're curling and unfurling and ripping and evolving one image into the next. So there's one image, the largest piece, it's hard to know, the widest piece in the show. It's very kind of long, almost like a scroll unfurling across the gallery, is called Cataclysmic Roofline. And on the right end, there's a pillow and sheet in this warm, classical red kind of color, almost like a 19th century academic painting. And then hanging over that is this picture of a clapboard siding of a house with some window. But it's kind of torn, so you can see the bed almost through the bottom of the wall. And then there's this huge, then you start to feel kind of the roof line of the building. And there's this huge attic space, very rough, and unfurls in, like it probably hangs, you know, several feet out from the wall. It kind of moves and curls. And then at the other end of this whole set, there's a big storm cloud with these kind of lightning-like splatters of paint that are flying out of this cloud. So all these actually, something I really like is if you can also, as a viewer, you can walk around this, see it from different sides, because it's almost like sculpture, and then sometimes you can even look behind things. So for people that really get their face in around that storm cloud, and if they look in behind it, there's actually a very beautiful, delicate image of, I think it's a goldfinch, but a yellow bird is flying in behind the storm. But you don't see it unless you actually physically move to kind of look around the storm. That's a little surprise there for people that want to look closely.
It sounds like it's fairly labor-intensive. How long does it take you to do one of these pieces when you're getting into exhibit?
Yeah, so the install phase is a lot of work, and it's also scary because you have to respond to the architecture that's there. So even though a couple of these pieces had already been shown in Toronto, they look very different here in the Cambridge show because the space is different. So I had 3 days of working in the gallery space with a helper or two as well to get it together.
Well, we need to take one final break, and after we do that, we'll come back and finish our conversation with Phil Irish with some details on the makeshift exhibit. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Brand new morning, I climb out of bed. Sun is shining, time to get myself fed. Good cup of coffee, scrambled eggs. Sit down on the floor and stretch out my legs and think. Lock out the sunshine and pull on the gray. It's time for a happy song.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Happy Song from Jennifer J. Kerr's Permission to be Broken CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Phil Irish. Details on makeshift in the exhibit. When and where is it?
So the exhibition is at the Public Gallery in Cambridge, and so there are actually two public, it's Cambridge Galleries, it's called, and there are two branches. So this is the Preston branch on King Street in Preston.
Okay. And that's running to January 6th?
And January 6th is the last day.
So if people are trying to catch this between Christmas and New Year's, best bets to connect with the gallery to find out what their hours are.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Yeah. So what's next after Makeshift? Are you working on anything else now?
Well, I have a number of pieces on the go in the studio right now, and I'm actually playing with some different materials because the Makeshift project is, so large and fragile. I've also been trying to figure out how I might use the same language of chopping things up for more permanent artworks, that people might even be able to hang on their wall somehow. So I'm actually doing some paintings on aluminum and some other materials right now to try and get the same kind of bends and things that happen in the paper. And frankly, it's a bit of a challenge, but it's exciting to be in research mode, and I'm pretty pleased with some of these. But as well, I'll be developing more in the installation direction, like Makeshift, and so hopefully there'll be some other chances to see that. They're not scheduled right now, but I'm talking to some people about moving that work around.
Well, where can people find out more information about all of that?
Well, my website, philirish.com, has lots of images on there so people can see what we're talking about. And you can also, you can email me from there, and I give out notices when I have exhibitions. I'm also on Facebook if people like that. So you can find Phil Irish artist page if you want to join that.
Great. Well, Phil, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Yeah, thank you so much, Robert.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection. Thank you to my guest, Phil Irish. And be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries.ca, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.